It's a new day. Hear his word. Let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Thursday, the 18th of September, and as we begin this morning, let's do so in prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The words of Psalm 111, which we'll hear at Mass today. How great are the works of the Lord! The works of His hands are faithful and just. Sure are all His precepts, reliable forever and ever, wrought in truth and equity. He has sent deliverance to His people. He has ratified His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Prudent are all who live by it. His praise endures forever. How great are the works of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Better way to start a Thursday morning. Some of y'all been with us a little while already, but those of you just joining us, it's good to talk to you. It's the Sunrise Morning Show here on EWTN, and I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lockman at the controls. Up this hour, Dr. John Bergsma continues our discussion of the Jubilee and the scriptural basis for our celebration of it. Rita Heikenfeld is throwing down the gauntlet. She's going to talk about a conflicting issue that always comes up between me and Anna Mitchell. We're going to talk about mustard in the Bible. Mustard in the Bible, not ketchup. Although it turns out her recipe today actually involves ketchup because she's doing meatloaves today for her recipe. Gary Majuda will discuss what Jesus meant by saying he had other sheep that were not of this fold. What in the world was he talking about? And then Courtney Brown from Ruah Woods at the end of the hour as well. So do stay with us if you can. Right now, it is 2 minutes past. News, a service of Central Fabricators and CentralFabricators.com. Here's Anna Mitchell.
Good morning. The Israeli military has said they are opening up an additional route for civilians to get out of Gaza City as they continue to apply pressure on Hamas. The Israeli ground offensive in Gaza began this week. The Palestinian Health Ministry has said around 80 people have been killed in Gaza in the last 24 hours and more than 200 injured. Pope Leo again appealed for Gaza during his general audience yesterday. The Holy Father said, quote, "Before God Almighty, who commanded thou shalt not kill, and in the sight of all of human history, every person always has an inviolable dignity to be respected and upheld. I renew my appeal for a ceasefire, the release of hostages, and a negotiated diplomatic solution fully respecting international humanitarian law," end quote. In his general audience catechesis, the Holy Father reflected on the mystery of Holy Saturday when Jesus lay in the tomb. From Vatican Radio, Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Our rest in God's presence can renew our spirit and open us to His grace.
The Holy Father continued his series of catecheses on the Jubilee theme of Jesus Christ, our hope, focusing this week on the mystery of Holy Saturday, calling it the day of great silence and joyful expectation. The Pope recalled that Holy Saturday is also a day of rest, yet he observed, we struggle to stop and rest.
We too are invited to find quiet and restful moments amidst the frenzy of our daily activity.
We live as if life were never enough. We rush to produce, to prove ourselves, to keep up. But the gospel teaches us that knowing how to stop is an act of trust that we must learn to perform. Holy Saturday, the Pope said, invites us to discover that life does not always depend on what we do, but also on knowing how to take leave of what we have been able to do. God, the Holy Father, therefore reassured, is not afraid of the passing of time because He is also the God of waiting.
Dio ama trasfigurare la realtà, facendo nuove tutte le cose.
Therefore, even our useless time, our pauses, emptiness, and barren moments, Pope Leo marveled, can become the womb of resurrection. All time can become full of trust if we leave it to God, who trusts, even when everything seems to be over. Finally, the Holy Father underscored that while we may seek quick answers and immediate solutions, we must remember God works in depth, in the slow time of trust. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Pennsylvania is mourning three police officers killed yesterday while serving a warrant in York County. Flags are flying at half staff across the state today. Authorities clarified the suspect had been killed by police, not by a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and the FBI is helping to investigate. The Federal Reserve has cut interest rates for the first time in 9 months. The Fed cut rates by a quarter percentage point yesterday. A majority of policymakers have said they want two more rate cuts this year. President Trump says the bond between the U.S. and the U.K. is unbreakable. More from Mark Mayfield.
He spoke at a state banquet hosted by the King of England at Windsor Castle in London Wednesday.
Your Majesty, Melania and I are deeply grateful to you and Queen Camilla for your extraordinary graciousness. And to William and Kate, thank you so much. It's been so great being with you today.
King Charles said he cherishes the close ties between the British and American people. Earlier in the day, the Trumps took part in a carriage procession through the Windsor estate with King Charles, Queen Camilla, and the Prince and Princess of Wales. They also visited the tomb of the late Queen Elizabeth II and laid a wreath at St. George's Chapel. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And another big change is coming to college football. The NCAA announced yesterday that college football is officially moving to a single off-season transfer portal window. The Division I Administrative Committee voted to approve a legislative change that eliminates the spring transfer window. They were unable to decide when the loan portal window for FBS and FCS players will be. Adjustments will be considered when the committee meets again in October.
Hannah Mitchell.
I have always found the spring transfer portal, I don't even know how long it's been in existence, but I found it very strange.
All I'm going to say is I don't know how the transfer portal works, and at this point I'm too afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just go to a different team.
So it's just like regular professional sports.
Well, you don't get traded.
You don't get traded for cash considerations and a player to be named later?
I mean, money is involved quite often now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Anna Mitchell, you don't say.
However, it is the student's decision ultimately to leave one team and go to another.
I was listening to a baseball game. And one of the commentators on the radio was like, yeah, so-and-so, you know, is in his second year with the team. He didn't sign a huge deal, only 4 years, $55 million to play for this team. But it appears to be paying off pretty well. I was like, not a huge deal.
Good grief.
$55 million.
I know.
You know how long it would take the lifetime of Sacred Heart Radio to go through $55 million?
Mm-hmm.
Our grandchildren would be still going through that. My goodness. $55 million.
Yeah, who is the Florida quarterback that just went through?
You were asking me, a Tennessee volunteer, to name a Florida quarterback for you?
The Miami quarterback.
I got nothing, Anna Mitchell. I got
Miami
nothing.
Hurricanes.
Tua Tagovailoa.
No,
this is my Miami quarterback.
Carson Beck, that's right.
Oh.
Carson Beck, he transferred from Georgia to Miami, and there was like a lot of money involved in that.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, you know, maybe they're Catholic radio listeners in one day.
Carson, if you're listening.
Carson.
We'll accept
if you like
college.
Catholic radio, I'll say all kinds of nice things about the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, they're ACC, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not a threat to me.
So they're not a threat to you. I get it.
I don't think about them at all.
Today is Thursday, September the 18th. It is the feast of St. Joseph of Cupertino, the Flying Friar. Pray for us. Back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Dr. John Bergsma. We've been going through his book, Jesus and the Jubilee, the Biblical Roots of the Year of God's Favor. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Anna.
So we have been talking about the theme of Jubilee in the prophets leading up to and during the Babylonian exile. And in the prophets, there's, of course, a lot of admonition and bad news that they relate to God's people. There's also a lot of hope and consolation as well, these promises from God that they will return, that they will be saved, which leads to this expectation of a Savior. And that is going to take us to the prophet Daniel this morning. When does Daniel show up in the timeline of salvation history in Scripture?
Sure. So Daniel shows up near the end of the kingdom of Judah, reigned over by the son of David. Around 605, the king of Babylon subjects Jerusalem to vassalage, makes them a kind of a client state, we would say, and takes some hostages to ensure good behavior. And some of these hostages are from the high-ranking families of Jerusalem, and Daniel was one of these aristocrats, these young boys, aristocrats, who were taken by the king of Babylon to Babylon to serve in his court, and basically that was to ensure good behavior. Look, you Judeans better do what I say, because I have some of your finest sons here with me. And if you want them to continue to be treated well, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So Daniel is out in Babylon advising the king, and that's kind of how we see him as we open up that book.
Yeah, so the important part of Daniel for our purposes this morning takes place in chapter 9 when he has this vision of the archangel Gabriel. And I'm going to read your translation that you include in the book, conveniently enough. So this is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks of years, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel, by the way. 70 weeks of years are decreed concerning your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of Messiah Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood. And to the end, there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week, he shall cause sacrifice and offering to cease. And upon the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Okay, there's this just taken right out of context here. Like, there are a lot of questions, but a lot of indications of timing, a lot of different weeks mentioned by the Archangel Gabriel. Unpack that for us.
Sure. So these are weeks of years, at least initially, when he says there shall be 70 weeks of years. And that goes back to Leviticus, where every 7 years you had a Sabbath year. So it was based on the cycle of, you know, days of the week. The years followed that same pattern. So we're talking a period of 490 years. That is 10 Jubilee cycles, because every 49 years, the Jubilee came around, and that's significant because 10 is kind of a number of perfection, so it's like a perfect set of Jubilees, and then we're going to get the Great Jubilee where Messiah is going to show up. And then it's a little bit cryptic, but as I've been teaching and working on this passage, Anna, you know, for actually 20 years now,
wow.
It's beginning to make more and more sense, and I'm beginning to realize, oh, I see what's going on. More and more, it is fitting with our Lord's ministry and Passion Week. You know, you can read this, he shall make a strong covenant with many in 1 week. That's Holy Week. And the strong covenant that's made is the new covenant, which is the Holy Eucharist. And this other stuff is starting to make more and more sense to me as I get older. But yeah, the angel is giving Daniel a chronology for the coming of the Messiah and the fulfillment of Jubilee hopes. And we should treasure this passage because the next time that Gabriel shows up, it's going to be in the beginning of Luke to Zechariah and then our Blessed Mother. So this passage is really tied to the Hail Mary and to the Annunciation and to all that we believe about our Blessed Mother as the one who brings in the age of the Messiah. It's background for it.
Well, and it's interesting, too, that the angel describes him as Messiah Prince. I mean, how did the early Christians interpret this passage, Doc?
Yeah, well, the church thought, well, I mean, great question. They interpreted it in terms of the coming of Jesus and then the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans a generation later. So that 40-year span between, say, 30 to 33, we're a little bit fuzzy on exactly what year, but the year of our Lord's Passion and then the year 70 when the city is destroyed. And you have that description there, people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That sounds very much like the Romans. Some folks try to apply that earlier, but Jerusalem was not destroyed earlier in its history. It was definitely the year 70 when that took place.
Wow. Well, we'll leave it there for now, and we've got a lot more to discuss. Moving forward in Jesus and the Jubilee, the biblical roots of the year of God's favor. It's linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Dr. Bergsma, thank you.
You bet. Talk to you later.
I look forward to it. All right, it's 17 past. We're back with headlines right after this.
Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from the Comboni Missionaries, serving the poorest and most abandoned people in 41 countries, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preparing local Christian leaders to serve their people, all while helping improve the quality of life with resources like food, clean water, medicine, and schools. Learn more about Comboni Missionaries at combonimissionaries.org. That's combonimissionaries.org.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from Lord Teach Me to Pray. For over 500 years, the church-honored spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola have formed many saints. This treasured way of personal prayer with God is now available to you for free. Order your free training manual at lordteachmetopray.com and bring Ignatian prayer to others. Lord Teach Me to Pray is approved by the USCCB. Order now or support the mission at lordteachmetopray.com.
Now that it's back to school time, are you needing a little more of a pick-me-up to get back into an earlier routine? Look no further than the Mystic Monks of Wyoming for the coffee blends and teas you need to perk you up each morning.
And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com before you shop, a portion of your purchase price is given to us as a commission.
And while you're at our site, pick up a Sunrise Morning Show mug in our online store for just $10.
Get some great coffee in a great mug, all the while supporting the Sunrise Morning Show by going first to sunrisemorningshow.com.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. I invite you to listen to Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. On Catechism in a Year, you'll encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us. Throughout the year, we read through the Catechism of the Catholic Church with direct quotes, plus time for explanations and reflections. I hope you can join us every day or as often as you can.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
19 minutes past the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
The Israeli military has said they are opening up an additional route for civilians to leave Gaza City as the military continues to apply pressure on Hamas. Pope Leo is again appealing for Gaza. He did so during his general audience yesterday as Israel began its ground offensive in Gaza this week. And in his general audience catechesis, the Holy Father reflected on the mystery of Holy Saturday.
Anna Mitchell, there was a tweet out yesterday that I could not resist but reply to. So, at Brett BDB wrote that Poe owns Ravens, Cates owns Nightingales, Coleridge, in the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, owns Albatrosses, mm-hmm. Shelley owns Skylarks. Can any other poets or authors claim a kind of bird? I was thinking of course, Emily Dickinson and Hope being the thing with feathers.
Oh.
The Wind Hover by Gerard Manley Hopkins, the Jesuit poet. Mm-hmm. Of course, Flannery O'Connor's got her peacocks.
Peacocks, absolutely.
Tolkien has the eagles.
Ooh, I like that.
And Ogden Nash has the duck.
Ogden Nash probably else has other birds.
He's
too.
Got actually a lot of books. A lot of them. Maybe Yeats has swans. I don't know.
And you caught me off guard with this one. I'll have to think about it.
You have to think about that one on the break.
Yeah.
Business owners are starting to think outside the box to find new customers. You can reach millions of engaged Catholic listeners by underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show. Each weekday morning, listeners across the U.S. and around the globe can hear your message for your business, ministry, or nonprofit on the Sunrise Morning Show. To find out how it works, email me, Leah@sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah@sacredheartradio.com.
I'm Father Timothy Scheer, and these are Biblical Impressions. We're all familiar with certain years. When you hear just the number of the year, it brings to mind some significant moment in history. Certainly, 1766 rings a bell with every American. I should think that for the Israelite people, they would have had a similar feeling when they heard of the year 622. It was the year servants of the king discovered a book. Its contents stirred king and people to make far-reaching reforms. The character of these reforms are very close to the ideals expressed in the book of Deuteronomy. Many specialists are convinced that the king's servants must have found, in fact, a portion of the book of Deuteronomy. Whatever the actual content or identity of the book, the changes it brought about were marvelous. When we think about it, unlike those servants of the king, we can find the Word of God in the Bible any day of the week. So for us, each day could be just as glorious for us as was the year 622 for the people of God. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Scheer.
It is time for Bible Foods with Rita Heikenfeld of AboutEating.com. We get to talk again today about mustard because there's a recipe that's going to involve a little ketchup, but also a little bit of mustard. A meatloaf recipe she'll share at the end of this segment. Rita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And, you know, mustard, when we think of mustard in the Bible, I think most of us are familiar with the passage, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." That's in Matthew chapter 13. I wanted your take on that, and then I'll give my take. But I always think you have an easy way of explaining those sometimes ancient passages.
Well, I love that particular story from Jesus because he is telling us that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's such a small seed, but it grows mm-hmm. up and it develops, and eventually the birds of the air land in its branches. And I love this because this is what happened to the church, right? The church is like a tiny little thing that starts over in the Middle East and with 12 disciples and a few followers, and it just explodes. And now you got Catholic churches everywhere in the world, and when I receive the Eucharist on at Mass, Rita, I'm receiving it in communion with people from every country and continent on the planet.
You know, that's a beautiful way to explain, and that's basically my take on it, too.
Well, that's because you and I are both very, very smart, Rita, that's why. So we've done mustard a few times through the different seasons. Honestly, you can do mustard any time of year because you can do... I do mustard in my deviled eggs recipes mm-hmm. around Easter. I do it in my potato salad during the summer. And of course, we've got more cooler weather coming on, and we're going to talk about meatloaf in a little bit. But when it comes to mustard seeds, are they all basically the same?
No, we usually buy the yellow mustard seed, yellow mustard made from the yellow mustard seeds or the brown. But there's black, yellow, and brown seeds. And as I said, the yellow seeds, you know, our American mustard, like Durkee's, that's what those are made. That's what that's made of. And then the brown seeds have a dark yellow color. And when you think of those gourmet like Dijon and the country mustards, those are from those seeds. And then the black seeds, you'll see those in Asian recipes. And to me, they all have a hot flavor, a little bit of a pungent flavor, but the black seeds have the most pungent flavor. Those are not used quite as much.
All right. You ever make your own mustard?
I have. And surprisingly enough, I've made the Chinese mustard with just mustard seeds and water. Oh, my goodness. It was hot, hot, hot. Very pungent.
All right. So when it comes to, a lot of people leave the ketchup bottle just out on the table, but do you refrigerate mustard? Do you leave that on the table, too? What should you do?
There's a big debate. Now, here's what I do. Don't know what you do. I put my Dijon and horseradish mustards for sure in the fridge to maintain flavor and just the quality. But, that regular yellow mustard, I think that's up to you. I leave mine in the pantry, and it stays for several months. But if you want to refrigerate it, what that's going to do is just going to allow it to stay nice twice as long. But if you have dry mustard, you should just keep that in the pantry because that's either in seeds or powder. Don't refrigerate that.
Well, Rita, I've got up on our website right now in the show notes. People can go to sunrisemorningshow.com and find your recipe. This would be perfect for a fall day. It's for lemon barbecued mini meatloaves, which just sound amazing. Before you even describe the other ingredients, lemon barbecue mini meatloaf sounds pretty good. But what do we got?
Well, basically, it's a basic meatloaf with your ground chuck, breadcrumbs, onion, egg, salt. But you put some lemon juice in there. And when you mix meatloaf, you know this, don't mix it too firmly. Use a light hand so that it doesn't compact down. But what you want to do with these is you want to make six mini, like little meat loaves out of them, little oval loaves. And then the difference is in the sauce. It's ketchup, brown sugar, allspice, cloves, and some dry mustard. And what you do is you bake those little mini meat loaves for about 15 minutes. And then if I have some thin lemon slices, I'll put a little lemon slice on each one. And then baste it with about half the sauce. And then after they're completely baked, I'll pass the extra sauce around. Really good. That lemon flavor gives it a little bit of a different flavor, but not so much that people aren't going to love it. And this was one of my colleagues' cooking school favorite recipes to teach, and all the students loved it. So just a little bit different than your regular grandma's meatloaf.
Now, do you think it would work if you wanted to do it in like a loaf, in a full loaf rather than the minis? Would you still do a similar thing, or would you like kind of change the technique? I guess you probably have to cook it a little bit longer to get it cooked through.
Yeah, and then I usually bake I preform it and make one big loaf and still use 350. The instructions are 350, but it'll take longer, usually about, oh my gosh, close to an hour for a big loaf, don't you think?
That sounds about right. And the other thing, too, you can adapt meatloaf any way you like. And one of the things that I tend to do because, we try to go gluten-free from time to time around here. And so I swap out the toasted breadcrumbs with almond flour. And it achieves pretty similar effect. So
I'll be darned. I would never have thought of that. How's it? It tastes pretty good then, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you're just substituting out that breadcrumb taste for kind of, more of
a little bit of
nutty taste. Yeah, well, so, I mean, but meatloaf, Rita, there's this, sort of thing out there, oh, no, Mom made meatloaf. I've loved meatloaf my whole life, Rita. I love meatloaf so much. I don't understand why people complain about it.
I love it, too, and I hope you try this, and I know you'll tweak it in some way. So if you do, make sure you let us know.
Oh, man, coming home from a cold day and smelling meatloaf, man, hard to beat. Hard to beat. Rita Heikenfeld, we got your recipe for lemon barbecued mini meatloaves from your friend Carol DeBone. And definitely go to the show notes at sunrisemorningshow.com and check it out. Thanks, Rita. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, next week, Matt.
Meatloaf. See, I said something nice about something that involves ketchup. There you go. Half past the hour. Here's Anna with news.
Good morning. The Israeli military has said they are opening up an additional route for civilians to leave Gaza City as they continue to apply pressure on Hamas forces there. The Israeli ground offensive in Gaza began this week. The Palestinian Health Ministry says in the last 24 hours, around 80 people have been killed in Gaza with more than 200 injured. Pope Leo made another appeal for Gaza during his general audience yesterday. From Vatican Radio, Christopher Wells reports.
Esprimo la mia profonda vicinanza al popolo palestinese a Gaza.
I express my deepest sympathy for the Palestinian people in Gaza.
Che continua a vivere nella paura.
Who continue to live in fear and survive in unacceptable conditions, forced once again from their lands.
Davanti al Signore Onnipotente che ha comandato non ucciderai e al cospetto dell'intera storia umana.
Invoking the Almighty Lord who commanded thou shalt not kill, and in the presence of all humanity, every person always has an inviolable dignity.
Ogni persona ha sempre una dignità inviolabile,
which must be respected and protected. The Holy Father went on to renew his appeal for a ceasefire, for the release of hostages, for a negotiated diplomatic solution, and for full respect for international humanitarian law. Finally, Pope Leo invited everyone to join in his heartfelt prayer that a dawn of peace and justice may soon rise.
Invito tutti ad unirsi alla mia accorata preghiera affinché sorga presto un'alba di pace e di giustizia.
I'm Christopher Wells.
Pope Leo reflected on the mystery of Holy Saturday during his general audience catechesis as he continued his Jubilee series on Christ our hope. He said, quote, Christian hope is not born in noise, but in the silence of an expectation filled with love. The Holy Father said, quote, if we know how to welcome with gratitude what has been, we will discover that precisely in the smallness and silence, God loves to transfigure reality, making all things new with the fidelity of his love, end quote. Pennsylvania is mourning three police officers killed yesterday while serving a warrant in York County. Flags are flying at half staff across the state of Pennsylvania today. Authorities clarified that the suspect was killed by police, not by a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which had been reported earlier, and the FBI is helping to investigate. President Trump says the bond between the U.S. and the U.K. is unbreakable. More from Mark Mayfield.
He spoke at a state banquet hosted by the King of England at Windsor Castle in London Wednesday.
Your Majesty, Melania and I are deeply grateful to you and Queen Camilla for your extraordinary graciousness. And to William and Kate, thank you so much. It's been so great being with you today.
King Charles said he cherishes the close ties between the British and American people. Earlier in the day, the Trumps took part in a carriage procession through the Windsor estate with King Charles, Queen Camilla, and the Prince and Princess of Wales. They also visited the tomb of the late Queen Elizabeth II and laid a wreath at St. George's Chapel. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Illegal immigration across the southern border is hitting record low levels under President Trump. Tammy Trujillo has more.
FBI Director Kash Patel told Congress that known or suspected terrorists no longer have huge crowds to blend in with.
We've encountered almost zero at the southern border since the southern border has been sealed.
He claimed our enemies are now trying to sneak across other borders. That includes coming in from Canada, which is now, he says, one of his highest priorities. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Only 35% of parents say they are satisfied with the quality of K-12 education in the United States. According to a recent Walton Family Foundation Gallup poll, Only 7% of respondents are completely satisfied, while 28% reported being somewhat satisfied. Findings mark the lowest satisfaction level since Gallup began conducting the poll in 1999. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. The
It's back to school time and back to a busier morning routine. If you're going to need some help to get going, get yourself a few bags of Mystic Monk coffee.
And when you go to the Mystic Monk site through the link you find at sunrisemorningshow.com, you'll give us a boost with a commission on your purchase.
While you're at our site, pick up a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug and perhaps a water bottle for your student. All available in our online store.
Find our store and link to Mystic Monk Coffee at sonrisemorningshow.com.
Business owners are starting to think outside the box to find new customers. You can reach millions of engaged Catholic listeners by underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show. Each weekday morning, listeners across the U.S. and around the globe can hear your message for your business, ministry, or nonprofit on the Sunrise Morning Show. To find out how it works, email me, Leah at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
This is Father Rob Jack. Please join with me now in this prayer for priests. God our Father, you entrust your priests with the care of your people. Through their teaching, leading, and sanctifying, they gather your church into one body and strengthen her in her evangelical mission. Bless our priests and bishops, especially those for whom we now pray. Give them the grace to be effective witnesses of your mercy, love, and truth. Bless those priests who suffer from sickness and disease, both in mind and body. Bless our dying priests. May they offer their sufferings for the good of all your people and find healing and consolation in this life, if it be your holy will. Bless those priests who have failed and suffer hardship. Send them your spirit of forgiveness and help them to turn again to you. Lord, deepen our love for our priests. Lord, inspire many young men to answer your call to the priesthood. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, perhaps you have been visited by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they have come to your door and they've said some things to you, and they've maybe even pointed out some verses that are definitely in the Bible, but that you had never thought of before. And they said something about Jesus having some other sheep, and then they start to tell you all kinds of things that are, you don't even know how to respond. There's a strange look on your face. Well, we're going to talk about that concept of Jesus having quote unquote other sheep with Gary Machuda from Hands On Apologetics. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Matt.
I got to say that the other sheep thing, it's in my run-ins with the LDS that I usually get hit with this one. Is that where you hear it, or do you hear it in other spaces as well?
No, it's mostly Mormons. You know, it's that Jesus makes a kind of ambiguous statement that I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must lead them, and then they tie that into, the Jesus visiting the new world and the Neophytes and all the other stuff. So, that's mostly within Mormonism.
Okay, well, in that case, I guess we better figure out what Catholics believe about this stuff. So when Jesus makes this reference to the other sheep, what is it that it's in the larger context of him talking about?
Yeah, well, it is a little ambiguous in the passage, and you always have to be very wary about anyone who takes something that's ambiguous and builds a theology on it, right? We should probably build our theology on things that are most certain, not most ambiguous. And that's kind of like this. It's a little nebulous. Who is these other sheep? But, you know, he specifies exactly who they are. He says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. And what's important here, you know, we don't live in an agrarian culture usually, so we're not really sure what's a fold. And a fold is basically a courtyard for animals. So it's a courtyard that's walled off so that, you know, the animals can do whatever animals do, but they're blocked off from the rest of the world, so they don't have to worry about, you know, wolves and so on entering into the sheepfold. They're protected by a wall. And that, I think, is a very important clue, because the sheep that are in the fold, that are walled off from the rest of the world, it's clear that that's the Jews, right? The Jews were a separate and distinct people from, they were cut off from the nations. They were basically encircled by a wall, and the wall was the ceremonial law, ritual circumcision, dietary regulations, things that separated them from the Gentiles. So the sheep that are within the fold would be the Jews. And so the question then is, well, who's these other sheep that are not in the fold, that aren't walled off? And that would be the Gentiles, right? The Gentile world was cut off, you know, in a sense, not cut off, but the Jews were kept separate and distinct so God could sanctify them and fill them with, you know, all the revelation that they need for the coming of the Messiah. And so now Jesus says, not only did he come for the Jews within the fold, but he also came for the Gentiles that were outside of the fold.
Yeah, we get a lot more understanding of this because, you know, Jesus actually says something kind of cryptic. So if you ever run into a hardcore dispensationalist, they'll say that, you know, God worked one way with Adam, and then he kind of like went to the drawing board again and worked a different way with people up to Noah. And then he, you know, went back to the drawing board and started everything else. And so all of these things are interesting for us to reflect upon, but ultimately we're only bound by whatever was said last, right? So there are some people who don't even listen to Jesus because Jesus says things like, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, meaning that the ministry that he did in those 3 years was primarily to the Jewish people. But turns out if he's really got sheep in another fold, then we're going to figure out how that happens. And it does happen with St. Paul, right? He comes and commissions Paul specifically to go do that kind of work with the Gentiles, meaning that he is not, you know, invalidating everything he did before, but fulfilling everything he was talking about in his ministry. And Paul really kind of doubles down on this idea that Jesus came for everyone, even if he did his ministry in sort of a specific place.
Exactly. In fact, it was a physical wall that separated the Jews from the Gentiles in the temple precinct. There was this wall of separation that the Gentiles could somehow participate with temple sacrifices, but they had to be on the outer courts. In fact, they had a sign that if any Gentile crossed that line, that they would be killed on the spot, right? So there was this, what Paul calls this wall of enmity that separated the Jews and Gentiles. But in Ephesians 2:14-16, he talks about how Christ's death destroys this wall of enmity between Jews and Gentiles, and they're both gathered into one body, which is the church. And again, that fits perfectly with Jesus' teaching, right, about the other sheep that are outside of the fold.
Yeah, that's such an important point, because if you just pick up the Bible from, you know, a drawer in a hotel room, and you see Paul talking about Jesus destroying the wall of enmity between Jews and Gentiles, you might think to yourself, oh, Jesus made it to where Jews and Gentiles can get along together, you know, a lot better and all follow the same God. But if you are a first century reader of Paul's letter, you're thinking about like an actual literal wall.
Yeah, right, yeah. And that's very important, because that means now the Gentiles have access to God's presence, right? Not just the Jews. They have access to the sacrifice. And, of course, the sacrifice that replaces all sacrifices, the Eucharistic sacrifice. So now Gentiles have access to the presence of God, where before they were literally walled off from it. And you can see other things in the Gospels as well. The same ideas that work, for example, in John 10, where it says, Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And that phrase, lifted up from the earth, refers to the crucifixion, John tells us. So at Christ's death, just like Paul teaches, at Christ's death on the cross, there's no longer this divided thing between Jew or Gentile. All alike are equal members of Christ's body, which is the church, and therefore have equal access to God.
Well, and if you think this is kind of like a weird side topic about the Jew-Gentile relations things, go back and read the epistles of St. Paul, and you will realize that most of what Paul has to say in his epistles has to do with figuring out how to successfully integrate these people into the same church. You know, you can pull a verse here and a verse there from Paul that's inspirational, but if you read the passage that it's in, 9 times out of 10, it's inside of a passage where Paul's talking about how Jews and Gentiles need to figure out how to worship in the same place.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so Christ's death and resurrection not only changes salvation, right? They're no longer have that those ceremonial laws that separate God's people from the outside world, but also ecclesiology, the church, right? Now all people are in the church. And so what exactly is the church of the new covenant? It's very different from the old. It's no longer just separate people, distinct from the nations that's being sanctified through teaching and through the sacrifices. Now the church includes all Jews and Gentiles through the sacraments of the new covenant, and there's no longer that dividing law. And so now we're all one sheep within one fold.
It's pretty cool. We were talking about this with Rita Heikenfeld just before the news, right? This is what it looks like when the mustard seed grows and birds of all kinds land in the branches. Jewish birds, Gentile birds, all of them, because that's the way the kingdom of God ends up being. So you didn't know that you were going to be tying into Bible foods today, did you?
No, I didn't. But it's funny how they kind of get together sometimes.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Well, Gary Machuda, thanks so much. We got Hands-On Apologetics linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Head on over, find lots of great resources from Gary, including a lot on the Deuterocanonical books, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. Gary, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Matt.
All right, Courtney Brown joins us next. It's 14 till.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from Central Fabricators, a custom fabrication company and emerging leader in the production of distilling equipment. Central Fabricators offers a wide range of custom tanks, pressure vessels, and cookers designed to meet the unique needs of each customer. They use the latest technology and high-quality materials to create distilling equipment that is durable, efficient, and easy to maintain. Find out more online at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
Support is from Christendom College. Catholic schools need leaders who understand their mission. Christendom College's Center for Educational Philosophy and Leadership offers Master of Education and Doctor of Education degrees online that equip educators to lead with confidence, clarity, and an uncompromising commitment to the faith. If you're called to shape the future of Catholic education, the tools to succeed are at Christendom College. Christendom.edu/education. That's Christendom.edu/education.
Coffee seems to become more important when any new school year rolls around, and this is a year to consider treating yourself to some truly delicious coffee.
For that, we can highly recommend Mystic Monk Coffee, and when you shop their site after clicking the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you earn us a commission to help fund the show.
You can also treat yourself to a new Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug in our online store.
Get a mug and link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I'm continually amazed and humbled at the way God can work through me to help so many people. Although I have no idea what the caller's questions will be that day, I trust that the Holy Spirit can use my education and experience to guide, challenge, or comfort those who call.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday morning, 9 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm spiritual, but do I have to be religious? Join me, Dr. David Andrews, as we answer your questions on Call to Communion today at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to the Sunrise Morning Show.
12 till, here's Anna with headlines.
The Israeli military has said they are opening up an additional route for civilians to get out of Gaza City as they continue to apply pressure on Hamas forces in a ground offensive that began this week. Pope Leo made another appeal for Gaza during his general audience yesterday, and the Holy Father in his catechesis, continuing his series on Christ Our Hope, reflected on the mystery of Holy Saturday, saying Christian hope is not born in noise, but in the silence of an expectation filled with love. You can hear news at the top and bottom of each hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's 11 till. Back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Courtney Brown, Executive Director of the Rua Woods Institute, online at ruawoodsinstitute.org. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fine. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Rua Woods Banquet tonight. You all set?
Same here. Yeah, as set as we can be. Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well,
it's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be emceeing their fundraising banquet tonight. And Courtney, you know, the Sunrise Morning Show is based here in Cincinnati, and I would imagine that most of our listeners here on Sacred Heart Radio are pretty familiar with the work of Rua Woods, but we are also broadcasting nationally on EWTN, so there are going to be many who are not quite so familiar with your work. So what is the Rua Way?
So just as you know, our mission has always been for the past 16 years, it's the same. And essentially the work of John Paul II's Theology of the Body, we take that teaching and we want every individual to embrace their dignity and their identity as sons and daughters of God and live that vocation to love. And it's not news to you and your listeners that right now you could just look at, you know, the marriage rates, and they're on a decline, an alarming rate. I mean, divorce is still high. But also, too, the mental health crisis in our teens and in the young adults is it's staggering how high that's getting. If you really examine it, there's so many variables to this. But one core variable for sure is that we've forgotten our story, that this essential story of who we are. And that, as you know, when we talk about Genesis and look at Genesis chapter 2 when it talks about that word ruah, that breath of God, that this is the breath that's brought into the God's very life and the design of who he is. It's actually breathed into us. It's the same breath in Genesis chapter 1 that fills the formless void. It's the creative breath of God. And what's so beautiful about that is when you think of it, we have a charism within our own ministry that we want everybody to have that breath continue to permeate their life, their family, their jobs, wherever they are. So the Rua Way is a way in which we live our ministry. And the two aspects of what we have psych services, where Dr. Soderlund takes this anthropological vision of John Paul II and practically applies it to the best of psychological practices. And then on our other side, what we do with our education and formation is we take that teaching and how does that breath of God actually permeate in school culture, in parish culture. So what we're doing and with the Rua Way, when you talk about schools specifically in this initiative, is helping them to take one day a month to actually focus on allowing that breath of God to enter into the students' hearts with the goal of allowing the students to come to understand themselves as a gift and actually see others as a gift. Mm-hmm. So that idea when JP2 talks about selfless gift, allowing that teaching to permeate in the school building and allowing the fruits of the Spirit to actually bear in the school. So this idea of coming together once a month, celebrating together at Mass, we have something for the priests, we have something for the parents, something for the students and the teachers. So it becomes an initiative for the whole community, that they come together and embrace this Rua Way. So it becomes a charism that exists within the school.
Well, it is amazing how much this can affect a young person. You know, I remember back when your former colleague Emily Bissonette Mackey was developing the K-12 curriculum that Rua Woods now has available for anyone all over the country. I remember reading through some of it at the time and thinking, you know, if kids embody this, if they really take this in, they're going to learn that, A, they are a gift from God and that God has a plan for them. And then the next logical question when you believe that you are a gift and that God has a plan for you is, what is that plan? And when a kid starts thinking about that, they're going to end up changing the world when they come to embrace that gift from God.
That's a great point. Yeah, 100% a great point. The only thing I would add to that is that because of our radical individualistic mindset that we kind of are raised in here in America because of that, the only thing I would add to that is it's done through a community. That there's an absolute, like, the Lord has made us to be, as he says in TOB 14:2, JP 2 talks about that we're created to be with someone.
Right,
for communion. And more deeply for someone. Right, so this idea that it's not, the changing the world is not done in isolation, but it's done together. And then in a certain respect, too, that this idea of, like, the students, and that's the emphasis that if you look at, and just to move it to Catholic education just for a second, there's two unique things that Catholic education brings to the table. Is that one is it's not about just getting them prepared for the next part of their journey, which is a part of what Catholic education is, but it's essentially at the core to prepare them for their final end, which is communion with God. Mm-hmm. Like, essentially, that embrace, as JP2 talks about, eschatological man, union with him, like intimacy with God. And so Catholic education is set to do that with truth, beauty, and goodness. The other thing, and sometimes this is hard to recognize, but Pope Leo XI in his encyclical, Christ the Divine Teacher, the Divine Teacher is what it is, he says that one sacred education is a confluence, if you will, of the parish, which is the church, the school, and then also the parents, the family. And the family is a huge part in the education of these kids. So hence the reason when we talk about the rule way, even from our psychological practices, helping individuals is ultimately we're also looking at families, trying to help families and trying to help in the school, looking at how do we embrace our families and things of that nature in a deeper way. I know right now, as you mentioned, if kids really embrace that, seeing that their family is a gift and seeing that their family is a core piece of their identity will help to move us in that needle of civility and bringing peace to the world. You know what I mean?
Amen. To live it now, to recognize, yeah. I think John Paul II is the one that said it, that the children are not the church of the future. They are the church now. Just as you and I as adults are.
Yeah.
And we live that life of God every day, or at least that's what we are called to do. So there is great work going on at the Rua Woods Institute, which you can find linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Courtney Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. Thank you. All right, that'll do it for this national edition of the Sunrise Morning Show. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.